And just so you know, there were no babies hurt in this video. And just so you know, these babies are perfectly normal babies. Amen. Perfectly normal babies. Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse number 6, and I'll explain the video. And just to tell you, Thomas Edison said this, there is always a better way. Everybody say, there's always a better way.
Always a better way.
Amen. Amen. Crawling is better than scooting. Amen. It's easier and it engages all the muscles and limbs in a coordinated effort. And so we watch these videos as an illustration. We laugh and we see, but I know those babies were happy when they learned how to walk. Amen. There's always a better way. Hebrews chapter number 8, verse 6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is an active on better promises. Everybody say it's better.
It's better.
We found a place here. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. But he finds fault with them when he says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I show no concern for them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the presence of your Spirit that is here, the encouragements of the Holy Ghost during worship, these powerful testimonies, our inspired Bible classes, and the challenge that you're giving the church this year to get back to the simple things, to open up the doors of the house of God, get back to praying, get back to worshiping, get back to studying the Word and meditating on it day and now to get back to witnessing to our friends and neighbors and family members. As we preach this Word today, let this gospel message unlock the heart that is bound today and bring it out of darkness into marvelous light. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Well, there are easier ways to get things done and live in the kingdom of heaven. When we were adding a family room onto our house, there was an old concrete patio in the back that had to be broken up to make way for the footings of the room that we were adding on, 16 by 24 family room. And our contractors, Dave Grindles and John Griswold, they thought that they would save a little money and that they would use some spikes, some steel spikes, and some pickaxes and some sledgehammers to break up the concrete. But after about 10 or 15 minutes of that, after they were both completely wore out and they weren't making very much progress on that, they left and came back with a jackhammer. And that got the job done a whole lot quicker, even though it did wear them out. There is always a better way to do things than the way that we are doing them. When we were remodeling our bathroom on Laurel Street several years ago, and our contractor, Ted Brentlinger, was putting a new tub in, had it all framed up and trimmed out. But the tub, because the house was old, 70-year-old house, is not going to have very many straight lines in it. And so he was having trouble getting the tub to fit in there because not everything was square. And he had one of those scrapers, whatever they call them, and he was trying to scrape the tuba floors down to get it leveled off. And he was breaking the sweat, and he was just wearing himself out. And about how many times he tried to fit that back in there, it would not go. So he stopped, put that thing, that tool down, walked out into the out to his truck, to his toolbox, and came back in with an electric wood scraper. And he just started, he turned that thing on. And I mean, he went up and down then too before. And I mean, he started throwing wood everywhere. And about 5 minutes later, he had that tub slid in there. And he said, my father always told me that if the job is too hard, go and get a bigger tool. Amen? There's always a better way. The disciples struggled to cast a demon. They had been empowered by Christ to cast out demons, and they had been moving in and out and casting out demons all over the place, and they were celebrating the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ that was given unto them. But then they ran into this young boy who was possessed by a demon, and Jesus and his inner circle disciples, the really strong faith faith men of God. And Jesus had called Peter, James, and John all up on the mountain, and Christ was getting transfigured. The disciples were unable to cast out the demon. What did Jesus say to them? This kind does not come out except by prayer. Sometimes things don't work, amen, the way they have been working, because there is a better way. Amen. And Jesus sent me to this pulpit today to let you know that there are easier ways of living, and it's time to stop doing things the hard way.
Right.
Proverbs 13:15, it says there that good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. And in the King James translation, it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. God sent me here to tell you today that there is a better way to live. Amen. There are some things that just make good sense. And the opposite of those things leads to hard times and ruins our lives. But Stacy's already said it, but the easiest way and the best way is the way of Jesus Christ. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why are we always doing things the hard way? Maybe we don't know any better. We may be young and inexperienced like a toddler, who scoots instead of crawling. My nephew, Bryce Morse, he never was very good at crawling either. And instead of scooting, he did what they call an army crawl. How many of you boys out there know what an army crawl is? When you get on your stomach and you use your hands and legs, and when he would lay flat on the ground, and he would just go like, it was the creepiest thing I've ever seen. He would just go like that, and he would just slide across the floor just as slick as a snake. And they called it the army crawl, and he just didn't know any better at the time. Now, of course, he walks and runs and jumps and drives cars and fire trucks and all of that kind of stuff. Amen. There's always a better way to do things. Amen. We may be oblivious. We may be so focused on getting the job done that we do not take the time to reflect on a more efficient course of action. I remember I was working in 1999, I was working at Aldi in Harrisburg, filling in there for several weeks, and they had hired a young man fresh out of the military, and we talked to him, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Yes, sir. Now we're going to go over here and do that. Yes, sir. We're going to go over here and do that. Yes, sir. I said, well, you know, buddy, you're not in the military anymore. You don't have to keep telling me that. I appreciate the respect, but we're just going to go over here and get these groceries. And I remember, I should have known better, but I told him, I took him out, and we went in the back, and we got a pallet of ketchup, and Aldi sells a lot of ketchup. And so in the summertime, they stock it on a pallet, and they bring it out stacked up about that high. And it was just like maybe a partial case or a couple cases left. So it was time to replace the empty one with the full one. And so we went there, and I showed them how to work the electric pallet jack. We had Barrett's, and we also had Loftus jacks at the time. And we pulled it out with a Barrett jack, and we brought it over there and sold it. And then we cut off the plastic. We cut off the plastic before he put it in there. And I said, and then just before we got done, I wanted him to put it in there. So I said, well, you go ahead and put the full one in where the empty one is. And then when you're done, come to me, and I'll give you the next thing to do. And I was busy and didn't really pay attention to what the time was. And just, you know, because when you work at Aldi, you're busy. I looked at him, about 30 minutes had passed. And I thought, where in the world is he? How long does it take to put a pallet in the hole where the empty one was? And I walked over there, and he was just about done. He had been moving it case by case off of the full one onto the empty one, one case at a time. And I thought, this guy is not going to last very long. And he did. Before the 3 weeks was over, he was already gone. But sometimes we just are oblivious that there is an easier way to do things. Sometimes we feel a lot of pressure to act, and that we neglect to make a good plan, or we may just be stubborn. Maybe we're just stuck in our old ways. Maybe we've been told some lies, and we've come to see the world a certain way, but we don't realize that there's a better way to see the world. And we've come to understand situations. We've grown up in tough areas, and we've grown up in difficulties, and we've been abused. We've seen violence. We've been in want and neglect, and we've had a lot of trauma and trials in our lives. But I like what Jesus said. The fourth thing he said he was anointed to preach about was to preach a liberty to the oppressed and the traumatized. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. There's a better way of living than living in the old brokenness of the old life. There's a better way of living than living in the traumas and the pains of the past. Maybe we just refuse to change. We just refuse to innovate and pivot according to the shifting circumstances. Or maybe we're just too stubborn, spiteful, and rebellious. Whatever the case may be, amen. And it may just seem easier to continue in the same frustrating patterns, trying the same things, failing over and over. Or maybe, just maybe, how do we all want to preach to you today that there is a better way? The Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 8 that the old covenant was based on carnal things, tangible things here in the human realm, that it was a tabernacle that was built by the hands of men, Aholiab and some of the other men that worked together to sew the fabrics, the women that sewed, and the men that designed the jewels and the garments for the priests, and the design of the furniture, and the baking of the bread, and the compounding of the incense, and the oil for the lamps, and all of those things that they built and put together was something that could be seen and touched. Seen with the human eye and touched with the human hand. Some of it, what they were allowed to touch. And this is what the old covenant was like. Amen. The tangible things here in the human realm. The old covenant was circumcision. Amen. All of you Gentile brothers and brothers out there, say hallelujah that we're not under the old covenant anymore. Okay, that joke went right over y'all's head. Okay. Anyway, the old covenant was circumcision and blood sacrifices. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. And the guilty died without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. But the Bible said this new way, this new covenant is built on better promises. It's a better covenant. It's a heavenly covenant that is built in the throne room of God. Amen. That the Bible says the blood of Jesus was applied to the altar, not the altar that was built there in Jerusalem in Herod's temple, the second temple, but the altar of God in heaven. Amen. We are living under a better covenant and with better promises. It is a new way of living that is based on a spiritual rebirth, on a heavenly connection. Instead of eking out a living and maintaining our short earthly existence, we are walking after the Spirit. We are living a new life. We are bringing heaven to earth while building treasures in heaven. And instead of pursuing our own feeble, stunted agenda, God invites us to participate in a kingdom and a saga that has eternal rewards. There is a better way. Things are much better for me now that I've repented of my sins. Things are much better for me now that I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, immersed in water, dying with Him symbolically in baptism, and being raised with Him into newness of life. And my life is so much better that God has filled me with the gift of the Holy Spirit and written His laws on the walls of my heart. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, in the Berean Study Bible, it says, although God overlooked the ignorance of earlier times, He now commands all people everywhere to repent. There is a better way of living. There is a better way of pursuing goals in life. And that is God's way. And God is calling you today and telling you it's time to stop scooting around. It's time to stop army crawling. It's time to stop just having milk and being on the simple things and having an immature relationship with God. But God is calling you to pull yourself up in the Holy Ghost. God is calling you, pulling you up out of the pit. Amen. God is calling you and strengthening your legs. The knees that knock together and the hands, the Bible says, that hang down. That God is calling you to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul not only said walking in the Spirit, but running the race with patience. God says there's a better way to get where you need to go. Amen. It's time to stop running around on the rocks and the broken glass barefooted, but to put on, amen, the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is a better way to live and a better way to experience life and the world. And that is the way of Jesus Christ. And the way that we enter into this better way is it begins with repentance. It's admitting that we have been living and the way that we are living is no longer working and it's not working very well. And to come to the realization, what repentance means is that to come to the realization that we really need some serious help. How many of you someday think yourself, boy, I wish I had somebody that could tell me what to do here. Boy, I wish I really knew how to handle this situation. I really knew what to do. I wish I knew what to do next. I'm here to preach to you today that there's a better way. Amen. We can repent of our old ways and we can invite Jesus into our hearts and we can let Him tell us what to say next. We can let His thoughts begin to fill our minds and we can let Him begin to show us the way that we need to take. Amen. Repentance is confessing that the way of Jesus Christ is the better way. It's the only way and it's the way that we want to live from now on. Repenting is deciding that we're tired of doing things under the old regime and we are ready to start doing things God's way. And it's admitting that we have been pursuing in our lives, that what we've been pursuing up until now has been led us to just one dead end after another. Hallelujah. Do you want to keep running into dead ends? Or do you want to get on a road that takes you somewhere? Do you want to keep struggling, chipping away at the wood, chipping away at the concrete, and trying to build a better future? Or do you want to get a power tool? Do you want to get a hydraulic empowered jackhammer to begin to pound away and get things done faster and get to where God is trying to take you quicker? Amen. Would you like to have that kind of situation going on in your life? Are you tired of living the way that you are? It's time to come face to face with Jesus. It's time for you to decide how you feel about Jesus and what He means to you and where you are and where He is and how your lives can come together. Yes. God wants to make your life better. He has a better way of living. That better way cannot be found unless Jesus lives in our hearts. Jesus said, "The blind lead the blind. They all fall on top of each other in the ditch." You know, I want to make a difference in the world. I want to be in politics. I want to make a difference in the country. I want to make a difference with the incarcerated. I want to get involved in our judicial system. I want to be an attorney. I want to do this. I want to be in education. I want to teach people. There's a thousand things. I want to start my own business. There's a thousand things we could do. But friend, amen, it'll all go better. And it's a better way. And you'll be more successful. And you'll find yourself in a better place when you do things according to the way that God leads you. When you let God be the one who guides your steps, you'll find yourself in a place that you could not have possibly imagined, and that you could have never reached on your own. It's a better way. I don't know why God told me this. And some of these, sometimes these sermons just, and this is what the Lord said to me this week, there's a better way. A better way. God's way is a better way. Amen. Than living in anger. God, God fills us up with love and mercy and grace. Amen. God's way is a better way. And living under condemnation and fear and guilt over the mistakes in your life, God gives you forgiveness and He gives you mercy. Amen. And He fills you with the gift of His Holy Spirit. Instead of trying to eke out a living and hack our way to success here in this world, amen, we begin to store up treasures in heaven. Yeah. And God begins to bless us in the spiritual realm. Proverbs says it's better, amen, to live in a house in your integrity with just a loaf of bread than it is to be in spite and pain and debate and contention, but living in a large house with a table spread with the finest foods. There are better ways of living in this life than what we often choose to do. There is a story of two rich men in the Bible. And one of them was very religious, but the other one was a tax collector. And I'm going to make a pastoral, theological, what do you want to call it? I'm trying to think of the word. I'm going to make some insinuations into the story and see a bigger pattern in Luke chapter 18 and verse 19. We've often heard these stories as separate stories, but I believe that Luke chapter 18 and 19 is not just a compilation of separate stories, but it's actually one story that God is telling to show us that there's one way to do things that's the hard way, and there's another way to do things that's the better way. And we've heard the story about these two men in the Bible that came to pray in the temple. And the Bible said one of them was a Pharisee, and the other one was a tax collector, a sinner. And they both began to pray. And what did the Pharisee do? He congratulated himself. And I believe that he was wealthy as well. Because it was known in the Jewish community that when you were wealthy, that was the blessings of God. When you were rich, that meant God was happy with you. I believe that the Pharisee that was praying was wealthy. And the Bible tells us that the tax collector, well, he was a tax collector. You know what that means. He was also wealthy. Two rich men. I'm making this, I'm looking into this and applying this to what we want to see here in our message. But the difference was their attitudes. And I think Jesus put them together because He knew that they were living in similar circumstances, but He wanted to highlight not their circumstances, but the difference of their attitude. And the religious man, who was very wealthy, congratulated himself on his religiosity, was patting himself on the back, and he saw his riches as proof that he was a good and righteous man, while the tax collector, who was also no doubt filthy rich, came to pray because he saw himself as a cheat. And he knew that something was wrong with the way he was living, and he was looking for a better way. And what I feel about this parable is that these were not two characters in a story, but they were both real men, and they would both meet Jesus, and both be offered a better way to live. It's a different way, Brother Stacy, to think about the parables in the Bible. We often see them as, you know, stories that aren't really real people, but they just have a spiritual meaning. I don't believe Jesus ever told a story that wasn't real. It's just the way I'm thinking about parables these days. As you walk with the Lord further, you begin to see, well, there's more going on behind just a story. There's real people behind. These are real people and real situations. And it's not long, but just a few moments later, in the same book of Luke chapter 18, where it tells a story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, that he runs into a guy in Luke chapter 18 known as the rich young ruler. You know what I believe? I believe it was the same guy. But when he came in contact with Jesus, something inside of himself told him that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Bible said in the parable that the Pharisee did not go away justified. He congratulated himself, but he went away unsure. He can pat himself on the back and went down the list of all of his religious accomplishments. But something was upset inside of him. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And God let conviction fall on him. And he found Jesus on the road. And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You got to sell everything you got and give it to the poor and follow me. Then you'll have treasure in heaven." What did he do? He knew that what he was doing was right in some sense, but for some reason he felt like he was missing something. And what he was missing was that he had connected his righteousness being the eyes of God to his wealth. And he needed to get rid of his wealth so that he could begin to see who he really was in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Now, there were two guys in the story, right? The other one was rich as well, right? But what do we find in the book of Luke chapter 19? Hallelujah. He hears about Jesus as well. But he's got a problem, Ashley. He's short. And he can't see over the crowd. So what does he do? He climbs up a tree so he can catch a glimpse of Jesus. And I believe that man was the other man in the story of the two men that went to pray. Because they both come up in the Gospel of Luke, one right after the other. Jesus doesn't just tell stories for no. And something miraculous is about to happen. Because after the rich young ruler went away sorrowfully and refused to give up his wealth and refused to take heaven's wealth, but he wanted to hang on to what he had, there's a better way to do things, friends. Generosity is better than stinginess. And so when that rich young ruler went away, Jesus said, "It's very hard for a rich man to get into heaven." And he said this famous statement: "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven." The apostle was like, "Who can make it into heaven? Well, with them things are not possible, but with God all things are possible." And then the story moves to Jericho in the next chapter, and we find a man climbed up a tree. What kind of a man is he? He is a sinner. He is a tax collector, and he's climbed up the tree to get an eye on Jesus. And Jesus already heard his prayer in the temple. Jesus, and he didn't say Jesus, but he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He heard both of those guys praying and intersecting in their lives, both of them, to give them an opportunity to live a better way, to have a better life. The rich man needed to learn to be poor. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus, who he was, because he'd already heard his prayer. He was like that. When it was an Andrew that came to him, and they were telling us, "Come and meet Jesus, come meet the Messiah." And when he saw him, it was an Andrew, one of the other young disciples that Jesus was calling. And he said, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Behold, a man in whom there is no God." And he said, "What are you talking about, Willis? What do you know about it?" He said, "When you were under the tree, I saw you. When you were under the tree, I knew you." He had been praying to God, looking for God's answer, looking for the Messiah to come. Jesus had already seen him and heard his prayer. And so Jesus walks along the road. He's took care of the first prayer warrior. And he's made his decision to do things the hard way. But he walks up under that tree and stops. And with a little smile on his face, he looks up. And he said, "Hey, Zach, come down from the tree. I'm going to have dinner at your house today." And he swung around a couple of times like a little monkey and jumped down out of that tree and landed on his feet with a smile on his face and a pep in his step. And everybody in the crowd started to murmur and complain. But Jesus didn't care. Jesus didn't come to win a popularity contest. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus is seeking us and our hearts and our lives today. so that we can learn to live a better way. And then he goes to the house of this wealthy, filthy, rich sinner, sits down at his table and begins to eat with them. And something stirs in Zacchaeus' heart. And he jumps up from the table and he says, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. And anyone that I've cheated, I'm going to reimburse them four times as much as what I stole from them. And I'm going to begin to live a godly life like I should have been all along. And Jesus piped up and he said, salvation has come to this house today. There's a better way. Jesus' way is a better way.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. I said, Jesus' way is a better way. Zacchaeus didn't see his wealth as a sign of his righteousness, but as a sign of his sinfulness. What a difference a perspective can make.
That's right.
One of them wind up seeing a better way. And it was without Jesus. But one of them wind up seeing a better way, and Jesus didn't even have to tell him what the problem was.
Amen.
I think sometimes if we've got to ask God what the problem is, it's not that we don't already know what it is, it's that we don't want to change it. Whether we're rich or poor, it is the attitude and heart that we bring to God that matters. Hallelujah. And if we will commit to living a life before God, if we will repent of our sins, and the Bible says Jesus came bringing a better covenant with better promises. Serving Jesus is better than serving Shiva. Serving Jesus is better than bowing before a golden idol. Serving Jesus is better than Buddha.
Amen.
Serving Jesus is better than worshiping the God of Islam.
That's right.
It's better in every way.
Yes.
Better covenants, better promises. No other religion in the world offers what Jesus offers.
That's right.
He offers us forgiveness.
Amen.
He offers to pay the debt of sin for us and give us the promise of a hope of eternal life in heaven. And friend, let me tell you something. It's not just that God is going to get us to this glorious place with streets of gold and a sea of clear crystal glass and His light beaming forth and rivers running and trees growing with fruit, and all of those things are going to be amazing. But you can experience a little taste of heaven right here, right now.
Amen.
You don't have to struggle through a life that is horrible. You don't have to wrestle with things unnecessarily. But you can let Jesus in your heart. He said, if you'll open up the door, then I will come in. And I will sit down at your table like I did with Zacchaeus. And I will sup with you, and you will sup with me. All you need to do is open the door, and I'll cook you up a meal. I'll serve you up some fish that I've roasted on the fire. I'll make you some holy bread that I have blessed and broken with my own hands. And I will show you that even in this life now, that you can enjoy a taste of heaven before you ever get there.
Yes.
How do you know heaven's real? Because I feel it in my soul. How do you know heaven's real? Because God is doing heavenly things in my life. How do you know God is real? Because when I do things God's way, everything seems to go better. Aren't you ready for your life to start going better?
Yes.
Aren't you ready for things to just get better?
Yes.
For a change?
Yes.
Aren't you ready for things to go your way for a change?
Yes.
Well, it's time to stop doing things the hard way, figuring out yourself and trying to make it happen yourself. And I know we talk about pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but sometimes that's the worst thing for an American sinner to deal with, and the worst thing sometimes for American Christians to struggle with, that you don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can go to prayer and receive power when the Holy Ghost comes over you. abilities and the power will rest on me.
Yes, yes.
There is a better way. That way of serving God from our hearts and loving God from our hearts and hiding His Word in our hearts and believing with all our hearts and speaking to Him from a pure heart, a heart that perceives, a broken heart, a humble heart, a wise heart. That's the way that we should live. That's the covenant that the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah promised was to come. That's the promise that Joel the prophet said would come. That yeah, we've got this temple over here, this tabernacle in the wilderness, and these animal sacrifices. But there's coming a better way. Amen. And the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, opened up a new and a living way whereby we have direct access to the throne of God in heaven. You don't have to go to a priest. Amen. You don't have to figure it out on your own. You don't have to necessarily have a counselor to tell you what to do. You can go to the throne of God and obtain mercy and find help in the time of your need. Jesus has the answers for your situation. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Rob, I've already done all that, and I've already repented and been baptized, and I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to church and doing everything I'm supposed to do. But I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling, Brother Rob, and maybe that you need to take a closer look. If you've been changed, saved, delivered, and filled with the Spirit, but you're still doing things the way you did before you were saved, then it's time to learn more about how the King and the Spirit work.
Amen.
God didn't call you out of darkness and into His marvelous light for you to keep doing the things that you did when you were in darkness.
Amen. Amen.
But He called you out to a new life, to a living way. Because the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and life more abundantly. Let's all stand together today. It's time for us to learn how to draw strength from the Spirit through our trials instead of running around in a daze. It's time to spend more time in our Bibles. It's time to talk to God and listen to what He's trying to tell us. What do? We run off and we do things the wrong way, and we do things the hard way, and we run down the wide road that leads to destruction. Everything falls apart, life in ruins, and then we come and complain to God, and we quit praying, and we quit church, and we quit reading our Bibles, and we're mad at God for all of the dumb mistakes that we made. We're mad at God for all of the hard way that we've had to go and the hard road that we've had to plow in the field of our lives. But yet God is always beckoning us, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It may be time for you to knock the dust off of your Bible. It may be time for you to have a talk with God, a real talk with God. And it may be time to start listening a little better at what He's trying to tell you. There is a better way.
That's right.
And some of y'all ain't been scooting around like a toddler that can barely pull themselves up. And it is kind of shocking sometimes, isn't it? Sister, it's shocking sometimes when you start digging into God and you realize how...
Yes.
Oh, man. The Bible says the Word of God is like a mirror. And when you look into it, you're like, that's why we don't read the Bible, because it's a mirror. And we do not like what we see. Somebody said on a Facebook post that I'm trying to look at myself, but somebody keeps jumping in front of me. Every time I look in the mirror, somebody jumps in front of me. I don't know who that person is. Hallelujah. It can be a little shocking to get close to Jesus and see who we really are. And to understand what He sees us as we're really like. But I'm glad to know today that God doesn't just see what's wrong with us. And He doesn't just see what's right with us. But he sees all of us. The whole person. And he knows how to get us moving forward in life again. He knows how to get us moving in the direction of heaven again. He knows how to get us back into a relationship with him again. We need to start the process. We need to flip the switch. We need to pull the trigger. And the Bible said, God, he winked at ignorance before, but now he calls all men and women to repentance. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Lord, talk to God today. You've been blessed.